Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hour two, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to Josh McDaniels, some second guessing about the hire nationally and whether or not he's the right fit for Drake May. Patriots also filling out their coaching staff. Again, Doug Marrone, St. Doug Marrone.
St. Doug.
Had a winning record with the Buffalo Bills one year. He started referring to himself as St. Doug. He went to Jacksonville.
And then he left. Remember, there was like a weird circumstance.
Yeah, correct. I think he was starting to call himself St. Doug after that because he's like, I didn't stay there, and I got a winning season out of Buffalo. Now, it turns out Sean McDermott's had a million winning seasons there, even one without Josh Allen and a playoff appearance.
He had an out clause in his contract. So he was the Syracuse coach, and then Buffalo was like, we're going to do this huge search and look for our next head coach. And then they just like went down the street, and we're like, we're going to hire Doug Marrone. So Doug Marrone was in Buffalo for 2 years. They had a winning record in his second year. And then he exercised an out clause and quit after the 2014 season.
Nice.
And still got paid his 2015 salary.
To go, like, work with his buddies in New Orleans or whatever, right?
And then, and then it says, after Marrone quit, several players expressed their displeasure and disgust with both the decision and the way that he informed the team. One of the captains, Fred Jackson, said, quote, it was like getting punched in the stomach. Marrone interviewed with the New York Jets for their head coaching position. His interview reportedly did not go well. He then went to the Jaguars as an assistant head coach and O-line coach. Mm-hmm. And then after, like, a couple seasons, became their head coach. Made the 2017 AFC Championship game that you referenced.
Yep.
And then, remember they started to lose a bunch of their players, and then they sucked big time the next 3 years, and then he was out.
But okay. But he had a winning record with the Bills long before Josh Allen. He took the Jaguars to the AFC title game,
That's right.
He's not your head coach, he's not your play caller, he's your O-line coach.
No. I think it's a good hire.
That's a good hire.
You're just pointing out his past, some of those things that might be kind of questionable, but whatever. Like, I think coaching the O-line, I don't think you can do a whole lot better.
I think he had a very awkward press conference at one point in time in Jacksonville as well. Maybe we can dig
most
in
likely.
On that. Plus, they're also hiring Thomas Brown, who's going to be their passing game coordinator and their tight ends coach. Thomas Brown, I actually thought, when he took over as interim head coach of the Bears, it didn't go so well.
No.
But when he was just elevated to their offensive coordinator, I thought he did a better job, with Caleb Williams in that offense this year than, why do I
Shane
keep blanking?
Waldron.
Thank you. The guy who the Patriots wanted, who took the Bears' job instead and got fired in year one.
Yeah.
So they're filling out their coaching staff. We'll get to that with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. The other thing we've touched on today is, of course, the local, quote-unquote, earthquake that people are feeling.
4.1.
4.1 off of York, Maine.
Yep.
That apparently people in Boston are claiming they felt.
Yeah, they felt it all
right. Which maybe they did. We're in Brighton.
We didn't.
Like, we're here.
We're so laser-focused on the show. That
good
also
point,
could
Keith.
Be it.
But we're also kind of, I mean, we're very much at ground level. We're kind of even like sub-ground.
Yeah. Is that maybe we're safer?
But so we're like in the ground. Shouldn't we feel it more?
I saw Billy run to the doorway and stand in between the doorway, which is smart. That was really... That's a pro's move right there.
If we're in the basement, that's a lot of building falling on top of us if anything
good
were to
point.
Happen, right?
Like, plus all the construction around here.
Yeah,
that's
can't
a house
be good.
Of cards across the
Seriously,
street.
Seriously, that's true.
Not good.
You would think, for anyone claiming they felt it in Boston, we would be the ones feeling it, but I didn't feel a thing.
Just go to Twitter.
We're kind of inside of a mountain, though, aren't we?
A little bit.
Yeah, we're on like the side of a hill. I don't even know how to describe it.
Should we feel it, or should we feel it more because of where we are?
I think more.
I don't know.
I don't understand the science on that.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm also being told the chip in my dog that I was paying for a few years, I've been scammed.
You for sure been scammed.
Yeah,
that was my feeling.
These are all the topics
we
touched on.
The chip doesn't lose his teeth.
I think they're related.
I think I definitely got scammed on that as well. Let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to complain about the refs. James is in Leominster, wants to call me out. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. So, Jones, what is a good whistle? I don't know why you keep saying a good whistle.
Because to me, it's a favorable call. I'm not saying the league's in the bag for the Chiefs because a lot of people want to go there. I'm not willing to go to that, but I will acknowledge that the Chiefs have gotten good calls. They get the calls that tend to go their way, which winning teams, it tends to happen. It happened for the Patriots, too. I didn't think the league was in the bag for the Patriots.
Yeah. No, that's where my argument is. 20 years, you gave two examples of a quote-unquote good whistle.
Yeah.
You know what those two good whistles were? Two right calls. Go. That's what that was.
Look,
20 years,
James,
two right calls.
James, the Tuck Rule
two
one,
right calls.
The Tuck Rule one, you're right about. They ultimately got the call right. But I don't think any of us. Okay, go watch that play.
Yeah, that one's tough.
Go watch that play, because I don't think anybody, unless you go back and watch it like the Zapruder film, was watching it go and D Ford is offside.
No, but I also I get your point.
And he was irrelevant on that play. I did watch that highlight like five times in the last break. D Ford barely offside. He had a fingernail offside, and he was completely irrelevant to the play where Brady threw a pick in the AFC title game, which was a call that went for the Patriots and not the Chiefs, which I would highlight in this specific scenario.
They weren't in the bag for the Chiefs then.
No, because they were still in the bag for the Patriots. They had to move on to the Chiefs.
Roughing the passer.
Which one was?
The roughing the passer when they hit Brady in the helmet on, I think it was fourth down.
In that same game? I don't even remember.
In the same game.
Like, this is the thing. I don't even remember him anymore because they were six years ago, and I didn't want to cry about it then. I'm not crying about it now.
No, but I get your point, too, about, like, just because it's the right call, like, we've all watched enough sports over the years
they
to know that
right
the
calls all
refs
the time.
Miss them all the time. And so, yeah, they got it right. You're right. The D Ford one, you can go back and forth all the time. But the other one, in fact, was the right call, but nobody was even really aware of it. We all saw it live, and it was like, oh, that didn't look good.
No, I'm like, they lost the game. Yeah. You're talking about the Tuck Rule?
Tuck Rule. It was like, I didn't know the rule. You found out it was the rule, and you're like, all right, they got it right.
Yeah, but again, they don't have to call it that way on the field. Refs get stuff wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. So you got a favorable call that literally launched the dynasty, and you were still getting good calls in 2018 in the AFC title game in Kansas City against the Chiefs. So that's bookend. Not only did I give two examples, I gave one at the beginning and one at the end, bookending the whole 20-year run.
Yeah.
Let's go to your phone calls. Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I did think that first down play was a terrible call, but the last offensive play of the game for Buffalo, the running back goes in motion, and he's actually wide open. If Allen sees him, it's a much easier pass than the one he tried to make. They probably pick up 30, 40 yards right there and go down and maybe win the game. So I don't blame the refs for – I think it was a terrible call, but I don't – and it did change the momentum of the game, but I don't really think that that's what cost them the game.
Okay, so I agree. Let's focus on that for a minute. So Wiggy said this all morning. 3.5 minutes left, 3:33, Josh Allen with the ball. All you need is a field goal.
Yep.
3:33.
And Bills had a good kicker.
The Bills had – great kicker.
Yeah, yeah.
Bills had all their timeouts and the two-minute warning. So, yeah, okay. The refs made a bang-bang call against the Bills in the third quarter.
Yeah, I think there's also just something about the Bills can't beat the Chiefs in the playoffs.
There is.
Right? So, like, okay, the refs and, you know, Mahomes is clutch and Andy Reid's a good coach and their defense is good. It's like there's also the element of the Bills not being able to break through against this team.
And Johnny's right. Go back and watch. He said the running back, I'm almost positive it was Khalil Shakir, did like one of those like satellite like motion plays. So it was a wide receiver, but functioning in the backfield.
Yep.
He leaks out to the left side of the formation. He's all alone. I mean, it might have been a touchdown if Josh Allen sees him. At bare minimum, it's a bigger play than what they would have hit to Dalton Kincaid, although Dalton Kincaid should have caught that. I mean, Allen put that throw, and I don't know how he did it under duress, on the money. And he wasn't able to reel it in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's also on Buffalo.
Would have been a good catch.
It would have been. Yeah, but the rest have nothing to do with that. That's Dalton Kincaid not catching it.
No, they
Josh
had a
Allen
chance.
Missing a read.
Yeah.
Allen had all day. So, yeah, to me, that would be part of it. I did love the play call. I tweeted this out in real time. Tony Romo at the snap. Romo had a brutal day. Brady had a good day, by the way. Brady had another good day yesterday.
Brady's coming around.
Brady, I thought in the two-minute warning leading up to halftime, I thought Brady was phenomenal. Talking you through down and distance, game situation, the time management there. I thought Brady was honestly excellent in that spot. And Romo's garbage.
Hey, leave Romo alone.
Yesterday, Keith, he goes right when the ball snapped. Go back and watch the play. He goes, Allen's going to have time here.
He's going to have time here, Jim.
No.
He's immediately running for his life. Two seconds later.
Corner blitz.
The guy's
it?
Under three players are on top of him. He's going to have time here.
All the time in the world. Like, oh, my God, he's running for his life.
And then Nance goes, there's a flag on the field. And I'm
it even popped up on the screen, too. It was like flag. And then they were like, all of a sudden.
I think
like,
the production truck's like, Nance sees something. We got to put the graphic up. I guess there's a flag
no
on
flag.
The field.
No.
You know what I bet happened?
Sneaker.
I bet he saw one of those yellow cleats.
Sneaks.
Exactly.
Yellow sneaks.
There is a flag.
Nope.
I didn't see a flag thrown there.
Well, good job, Romo.
No, probably,
he was right about that.
You know what? It's for the best that these guys are not doing the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you.
KB and Brady are going to be a better Super Bowl team.
You're 100% right about that. I was rooting so hard for that to be a flag against Kansas City in that spot.
I was like desperately.
I was like,
so
come
too.
On, give Nothing. A call to the Bills.
Was there a flag? No, there wasn't a flag.
No.
Tony Romo didn't see one. Didn't see one. No, also for the Bills, like this is on them, I think, pretty significantly too. You know, not only did they have that chance there at the end, but just sort of overall game. So the game itself was close. You know, they had possessions when they had the lead. They had plenty of possessions when they were only down by a score. Do you think James Cook had a good game? I think James Cook looked like he was pretty good.
I would say he was okay, yeah.
How many carries do you think James Cook had?
Oh, I know this.
How many times did they hand him the ball?
15?
13.
Ugh.
13 carries for James Cook, who averaged 6.5 yards a carry. He had 2 touchdowns. They did throw to him a few times where he also made explosive plays. No, he looked like a guy that could really help out Josh Allen. So it wasn't going to be all Josh Allen in this game. And for whatever reason, they didn't use him nearly enough. He should have gotten 20 carries,
oh, yeah.
Not 13. He was doing a lot with him, and that's beginning, middle, and end of the game. Now, end of the game may be a little bit different, you know, because of, you know, 3:33 to go. You're not going to just hand him the ball a ton. But that was one, like, they did that. It was less Kansas City taking him out and more Buffalo taking him out. I don't really get that.
No, it's a fair one. By the way, text line points out another good example of the Patriots getting a good whistle, and this was Doug Marrone's team in the AFC title game. Remember Miles Jack? Fumble recovery, was all alone running it to the house. Jaguars were already up 20-10 early in the fourth quarter. There's another good whistle that went your way in a fairly significant game. In fact, the same round, AFC title game, which the Patriots came back in, to their credit. Mm-hmm. Danny Amendola, big fourth quarter. My guy, Danny Amendola.
Yep, friend of the show.
How about our buddy, the old show?
He was the old show. Yeah. I think he'd be a friend of the show.
I think
as well.
He'd be more friendly with this show.
Maybe.
He actually wasn't very friendly to the old
show.
No. Our buddy Jake is in Boston. Hello, Jake.
What's going on, boys? I do think you should give some time to Dakota and Braintree Scoop at some point, but I wonder.
Okay, quick, Jake, since you mentioned it. I believe he said Gerard Mayo is going to sue the Crafts. Is that what he put out there?
Whoa!
And he's alluding to something that I think you saw in subtext on both on Chantel's Instagram not too long ago, and then I think we know that Gerard has been very silent. There are no interviews, obviously.
Too quiet.
Chantel's event is coming up here on the 1st. If you're talking to lawyers, you're not talking to reporters. I'm just saying. Anyways, do you think there's a conversation going on in the Chiefs' offices this morning about their coaching staff arrogantly thinking they could win a Super Bowl with a mid-tier quarterback like the one that happened here? Do you think their ownership is angling for credit for a three-peat like a desperate Robert Kraft was? I don't think so.
I was wondering how you're going to twist this. Yeah, I don't think Andy Reid's thinking, hey, we could win this with Carson Wentz.
Okay, so that's fair. The first part, I wouldn't rule out that the Hunt family wants some credit for this eventually. Like, I wouldn't rule that out. Who knows? They're not doing it yet.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't rule that out. I think they're very poor ownership, and I've made this point a bunch.
Oh, yeah, no, a lot of these ownership groups just get really lucky.
I mean,
that's what it comes down to.
Clark Hunt is what, Lamar Hunt's son, I believe. Is he further down in the lineage? I'm not sure.
What about their cousin Mike?
That's
how come he never gets any
that's
time?
The championship they trophy that they raised for the AFC, yeah. Right? Yeah. So,
please call me Michael.
Yeah, I mean, it's just his dad was rich and bought the team in the 60s, and great. I mean, you haven't done anything, and you cheap out on your organization. If you read any of these NFLPA report cards, the Chiefs do equally terrible.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't rule out that the Hunt family, all of them,
Lamar,
Clark,
Mike,
I wouldn't rule that out one day. But when it comes to the Andy Reid part and trying to win with a mediocre quarterback, no.
He tried for most of his career.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. Reid attempted to do it.
He knows.
Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Alex Smith. No. Reid was much more successful with those bum-ass quarterbacks than
Super
Bill
Bowl.
Belichick
was.
For,
no doubt.
But,
I think he's good with this guy.
He understands that, he's not going to try to do it another way, where Bill was itching to do it for a decade.
Yeah. No, and I think learned the hard way that wasn't really going to work. Chances are, unless you're Joe Gibbs, chances are you're going to have to win with somebody really good.
So I had seen this. I wasn't going to bring this story up, but since...
I wasn't sure what he was talking about.
Okay,
so Jake, Mayo might not go quietly into the night?
I mean,
based on what?
It does a lot.
I'm not scoop shaming. I'm just kind of, what is this based on?
I can't imagine. I've said this a bunch. Yeah. I can't imagine Gerard goes after Robert and Jonathan. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I don't think so either.
I can see him going after Elliot Wolf. I can see him continuing to try to trash Bill. Like, he's gonna.
Yeah, but there's no lawsuits with that.
Yeah, I don't.
And like, you coaches get fired all the time.
Yeah,
you made it through the first year when probably you shouldn't have. You probably could have gotten fired mid-season year one, but you made it the whole year.
Yeah,
and unless they're trying to like keep your money, which I can't imagine because it's a legal contract. I'm sure he's getting paid whatever it is he's guaranteed. And then you kind of move on. And like, what are you going to assume for like defamation because an article came out that said like you're not the best coach? Like, what is that?
Here's why I don't buy it. And maybe he's talking to a lawyer. Maybe. I have no idea. Here's why I don't buy it. You sue Kraft, you're not going to get a job.
No.
You're
Flores
not going to get a
job. Suing the league and he's having a hard time getting a head coaching job. But like,
that's basically the same situation.
No owner would hire you if you did that.
I mean, if Gerard Mayo wants to start over again as some low-level assistant and work his way up, maybe. I mean, Flores had been a head coach. He had been a D coordinator. He had much more of a track record than this guy.
My guess is more Mayo may have finally learned his lesson that maybe I shouldn't talk as much. You know, because he hasn't said a word.
Well,
now, his wife did post on Instagram.
She did.
But that was in response to 2-3 articles that came out. And we're like, oh, Gerard's playing cards with the team. And like
you
all this
said it, I didn't.
There was like a lot of stuff about that, right? It was like they're kind of ripping them. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you think that's bad or whatever? And, you know, why are we lying and all this other stuff? You're like, okay, so maybe it was just a response to that. I have no idea what his lawsuit could even be.
Okay, me neither. And I just, again, I think it would be real short-sighted to do that.
Yeah.
If your goal is to work in the NFL again, that doesn't mean, you were treated unfairly or anything like that. Maybe he was. I have no idea. I don't pretend to know. But yeah, that would be real short-sighted, I would think, on his end. And I think he's a smarter guy than that.
Yeah.
So Curran has said, though, it's been complete radio silence.
Yeah, crickets.
Which to me means reporters have tried to reach out and they're not getting a response. That would be my interpretation of that.
Well, he's no longer contractually obligated to speak, whereas before he was. You had to talk during the middle of the week. You had to talk on Greg's show. You had to talk post-game. And he never did a great job with all those spots. Now he doesn't have to talk to anybody. And so whoever's giving him this advice to say nothing is the best advice he could get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his wife, I think, probably was like, enough is enough, and probably read too many of these articles and was like, this sucks.
Because you called it what? The most unfair?
The most unnecessary smear campaign.
Unnecessary
smear. Like, everybody was like, good, let's move on. Let's get a new coach. And then it's like, guys, we fired him because he was bad at coaching. Like, right.
Yeah.
Let's all just move on collectively. They didn't need to do it. They decided to. And to this point, we've heard his wife on like an Instagram story. Like, whatever. That's also harmless.
Robert and Jonathan's defense really should be, we let him coach week 18. We were nice. We were
coached one full season.
We let him finish the year when he didn't deserve it.
Yeah. So
we should have fired him on the spot after the Chargers game, and we didn't.
Well,
that's an example of there's no wrongful termination going on.
Did you a solid?
Right. Eddie's in the car. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, guys, how are you? Two things. It was back in the 80s that I was up in York Beach, Maine, laying in a bed up there, and the bed started shaking. They had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah, Eddie. That's right, Eddie. My man.
It really did happen, and I was there. But listen, I want to talk about the Kansas City game. I told you the other day that I thought Buffalo would win, but this drives me crazy because you know what this is the equivalent of with Kansas City? It's like playing baseball.
Sure.
And they're up and they get an extra strike. Every guy gets an extra strike. So if you get an extra chance and you get a chance to keep moving on, that's the problem with Kansas City. They get more chances than everybody else, and that's what's unfair.
Okay. I don't necessarily disagree that the Chiefs are getting favorable calls their way. Again, if you want to deny the Patriots did for 2 decades, we can go back and relitigate the past if you'd like to. But I don't know. Is there anything to the Chiefs are just a good team and they're getting calls because their guys are open? Other teams need to lean in. They're well coached. I mean, is there any aspect of that with the Chiefs?
I mean,
it's hard to ignore when they get more calls in their favor every single week. Yesterday, I think the calls actually were fairly even.
That was the worst part.
But the yardage was out of whack.
There was still a whole quarter left to go in the game. And if Josh Allen, if they say it's a first down, we both thought watching it live is a first down. The replay makes it kind of muddy depending on what angle you have of it. But if they had that first down, I'm hoping there's like a lot less chatter about it. There's still another couple of plays, and who knows how the rest of the quarter would have played out. But as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, man, like this is what it's going to be like for 2 weeks. But also, who knows what Buffalo does in that possession?
Well, thank you. So penalties yesterday were 6-5, enforced penalties anyway, accepted penalties were 6-5, 6 for Buffalo, 5 for the Chiefs, 48 yards to 21. Of course, Buffalo had more penalty yards. And the real significant calls, I think the two most significant, really the three most significant, although one I think washed out because Mahomes wound up fumbling later on anyway, went against Buffalo. So you can jump in on that. But I agree, for all the extra chances that the Chiefs got, Josh Allen had the ball with 3:33 left to go down a field goal. 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. It's like, don't tell me the Bills didn't get a chance. They had that was a massive, massive. In fact, I thought the Chiefs left too much time on the clock there.
Yeah.
For Josh Allen. and Allen couldn't come through, or Dalton Kincaid couldn't come through, or the Bills couldn't come through in that spot. Anthony's in Nashua. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, boys. Hope you guys had a good weekend. I just had a question I was hoping you guys could put your opinions about. What do you think it would take for them to consider, like, banning or putting a rule against the tush push? I have a few ideas. A, I don't get how people don't get more injured on it. If you look at the bottom guy, they have, like, 1,000 pounds of weight on their friggin' heads. So that's one. Also, I just don't, like, do you think it's ever going to get ugly enough? Like, the threes in the NBA, they finally are addressing that. It's like, some of the plays you see Jaylen get picked up and carried. It's not even a push anymore.
No doubt.
Started behind him, just carrying him into the end zone.
I would outlaw it. I'm sorry. I would outlaw it.
So I know you would. I think what this is the scenario in which it would get outlawed. The Eagles win the Super Bowl, and they do it a bunch of times, and other owners around the league say enough is enough. This happened with the Patriots. No. The Patriots' defense is too physical. Ty Law hits Marvin Harrison and Torrey Holt. We can't have that. So it's not unprecedented to change rules, especially when the team that wins the whole thing is doing it and the rest of the league hates it, because nobody does it like that. We saw Josh Allen not get it a couple of times, and they have a quarterback you'd think would be even better at it. And you're right. It's gone way beyond, you know, Jalen Hurts diving forward and maybe a running back kind of pushing him. It's like three running backs pushing him. It's like a lineman will turn around and grab him and run with him. It's gone so overboard. You would need the rest of the owners in the league to be like, enough is enough. It's a competitive disadvantage. But if Kansas City wins, I don't think there's less of a hubbub. They're like, oh, they're doing it, and they still can't win.
Well, and if the Chiefs lose, that would be in the face of the league, being in the bag for the Chiefs and the refs making calls for them. So
they can't lose this way. So
they would definitely change it in that
scenario. I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah.
I feel like
I think they should outlaw it, but I have no idea whether they will or not. I just think it's such a cheap play.
I remember when they did it to USC did it to Notre Dame. Remember years ago,
the Bush push.
He pushed Leinart drove him into the end zone.
Matt Leinart and Brady Quinn,
yeah,
dueling it out.
What a match!
What a game.
Studs. And now they're doing college football broadcast together.
Two quarterback studs couldn't play when it came to the NFL.
No, God no.
But two college studs rather they were. And for everybody who says, oh well, if it's so easy, why didn't Buffalo do it? Buffalo didn't have anybody shoving Josh Allen, which is the point. If Buffalo had three offensive linemen behind Josh Allen, or a running back and a tight end and then an offensive lineman dragging him across the line like Philly does, it probably would have worked. Buffalo did not do the tush push. They just had Josh Allen try a one-yard run by himself, hammering his head into the
line.
And
he like stops. He like hesitates.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
Which is, again, that's how a lot of those look. Yeah. And the tush push is different. They should outlaw it. I don't know that they will. But they should, in my estimation. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. All your thoughts on Super Bowl 59. You got the Chiefs. You got the Eagles. You got the refs, of course, prominently right in the middle of all of it. Plus, let's get into Josh McDaniels, some criticism of his hire nationally, and some more hires on the Patriots coaching staff. Billy Lanny with all the latest there.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're right back. How's Mike Vrabel on WBZ-TV? Discussing Josh McDaniels.
All right.
Which, before we get into any specifics on McDaniels, some national criticism and local defense of the Patriots' third-time offensive coordinator.
Sounds about right. No, he is very well-liked locally.
Here.
I think he's probably a good guy. I don't know him at all. I'm just saying. I think he's a good guy. He must be friendly with the media because the response to him coming back almost across the board is very well liked.
Quite popular with the local beat writers, if you haven't noticed. So, yeah, I mean, that's interesting, if nothing else. Not very well liked nationally, but the local beat writers really like it.
Correct, because nationally would include Denver Las Vegas, Indianapolis.
Yeah, or anybody who's just not biased. Anybody who just looks at it and goes, well, that guy's a disaster, and all he did was coach Brady. So we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Just real quick, we've touched on this a few different times. Doug Marrone, former Bills and Jags head coach, is going to be the offensive line coach. Mike Vrabel. Thomas Brown is going to be the tight ends coach and passing game coordinator. He was an interim head coach for the Bears. Not that it went great last year once he became the interim head coach. But these are veteran coaches who aren't first-timers littered throughout the coaching staff like it was a year ago. And the irony, Keith, as you said earlier, Gerard Mayo's the one who needed all these guys. Gerard Mayo needed McDaniels. He needed Doug Marrone. Yeah. He needed Thomas Brown or people like that, and they gave him none of it, where with Vrabel they're doing it. So I'm not criticizing them for bringing in experienced coaches with Vrabel. That's good. And I like that it's not just all Vrabel guys from Tennessee too. That's another nice byproduct of this.
Yeah, guys from like Ohio State. They just hired a Texas A&M guy. Like, there's like young guys, there's old guys, there's all kinds of stuff on the stuff.
Marrone, if I'm not mistaken, Marrone and Bill O'Brien have a connection, which I think is illustrated by him spending last year at BC. But I remember when Bill O'Brien was the OC here a couple of years ago, there was some talk of him and Marrone being a package deal. I think they might have overlapped at Alabama. Is that right?
Alabama in 2021.
I think they might have overlapped at Alabama, okay, if I'm not mistaken. So yep, there's a connection there, and maybe that's the connection for Vrabel through Bill O'Brien, who Vrabel was the DC for O'Brien in Houston. Maybe that's the connection. Thomas Brown, I think, is from the McVay tree, if I'm not mistaken, right? Didn't he come from the Rams before he went to the Bears? Do I have that wrong?
That sounds right.
So, you know, those are not necessarily Vrabel guys from Tennessee. And I like that they're getting outside that comfort zone a bit, but they're spending on real coaches. These aren't just interns promoted to the next job. These are real NFL coaches. And while they're saving a few bucks on Josh McDaniels, because he's still getting paid by the Raiders, hopefully they're spending on these guys. I'd say that's a good sign for the crafts. Although, as the Twitch chat pointed out earlier, expensive coaching staff equals cheaping out on the roster, which I guess remains
so
to be
that,
seen.
No, that's a fair point, because we don't know yet. They haven't had the opportunity to spend money on players yet in free agency or bring in guys in trade that they're going to have to sign to new deals yet. I do think overall this is somewhat promising, though. Like, I'll take the small positive step forward, where I'm sure Vrabel's getting paid a good amount. They still have to pay Gerard Mayo, Terrell Williams, Doug Marrone, some of these other guys. You're paying multiple coaches now because you basically got rid of everybody. See the report today, Dante Hightower's out. Basically, last year's staff with the...
Wait, I hadn't seen that. Oh, yeah, Hightower's out. It should be a total shock, but I just had not seen that.
Let me double check who had that. Make sure it wasn't a fake, because you know how these fake
sports talk
accounts.
You got sports talk ball sacked.
I might have gotten ball sacked.
I just haven't seen. I believe you. I had not seen that report personally.
But yeah, I'll double check on that. But so across the board, you're probably paying two linebacker coaches, two offensive coordinators, two safeties coaches, two, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're willing to do that, then you can't stop short. What's the point of that? What if you go nuts and you overhaul the coaching staff completely? I really, really hope that the crafts don't say, you know what, it was only a coaching issue. No. It was also a player issue.
Oh, yeah.
And my hope is, like, Vrabel and all these guys coming in are going to make that pretty clear. And I think they kind of did. Without burying everybody, Mike Vrabel's press conference, he was asked a question as innocuous as, like, what kind of players do you want? And he's like, good players.
Which means
they don't have a lot of good players. He's aware of that. So my hope is that they'll actually spend. Maybe it'll look more like the 2021 free agency than previous years.
Real quick, Thomas Brown is from the McVay coaching tree. I mean, those were his first NFL jobs. He was in college football prior to that. He was a running back in college at Georgia. Text line does highlight this, though, and I half agree with it, half disagree. Thomas Brown, garbage hire.
Whoa!
Keep him away from the offense. He was awful in Chicago, which I don't actually agree with. I thought the play calling got head and shoulders better when he was the play caller for Shane Waldron, replacing Shane Waldron last year in Chicago. I thought it got much better. DJ Moore was very sketchy to start the year. Keenan Allen, sketchy to start the year. Those guys had much better finishes. So I disagree with the Chicago part. Here's what I forgot about. He was the offensive coordinator in 2023.
Yeah.
For Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers.
They were not good.
That was real bad Bryce Young, who looked much better this year. So if you want to hold Carolina against him, fine. I think when he actually started calling plays in Chicago last year, they got a lot better.
3 years with Sean McVay. He was the assistant head coach in 2021 and 2022. So Panthers, not great. Bears, up and down, I guess you could say. Mixed. Also not the offensive coordinator. So like Doug Marrone, not the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put these guys in sort of lesser roles. Yeah, like, I'm okay with that.
He's your passing game coordinator. He's your tight ends coach.
It's still Vrabel,
right,
way at the top.
McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels, Williams.
And these guys are helping.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm good with that.
That's a good way of putting it as well. As for Josh McDaniels.
Real quick, Mark Daniels had Dante Hightower and Drew Wilkins are not returning to the Patriots.
Okay. I'm a little surprised about Hightower.
He's probably a Mayo guy.
Him and Vrabel didn't overlap at all.
Is he a Mayo guy? I'm sure Mayo was probably. It's probably like, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying anybody really deserves their job back after last year, but you'd think a guy who was a good player here, maybe Kraft would say, hey, can you keep him on staff?
I don't know.
I mean, the answer is clearly no, but I'm a little surprised by that. Anyway, Orlovsky, my guy Dan Orlovsky.
Yep.
Tweeted,
what do you say now?
Tweeted this out. It's a screen grab, I'm guessing, from like NFL Live or something like that, it looks like. Maybe it's Sunday Countdown. Raiders under Josh McDaniels. And it says NFL ranks from 2022 to 2023 week 8 when he got fired.
Okay, so a year and a half there with the Raiders.
Dan Orlovsky.
I've heard that.
Perhaps I'll walk this back too.
Okay.
Play action percent for the Raiders offense under Josh McDaniels, 26th. This is the last time he had a job in the NFL. Shotgun percent, 53%, 30th. Motion at snap, 7%, last. So he highlights all these stats.
Pelt Spider-Man meme. No motion.
No motion at the snap.
Yeah.
They weren't in shotgun. No play action. Okay, they were 26th, 30th, and last in percentages. So he tweets those out, and he says, I don't love this for Drake May.
This guy's been all over the map, though, for Drake May. He didn't want to play him last year.
True.
Yeah.
But just on those stats, forget mm-hmm. Orlovsky being the messenger here on this. Maybe you can't separate the two, and that's fine. I have a hard time doing it myself. But I think that's a fair criticism of McDaniels. Like, all these things that you want in a new wave offense, and this is what we talk about, Keith, why we would have preferred someone from the McVay coaching tree, which ironically they're bringing in Thomas Brown. The reason you want that is you're in shotgun, and it is play action, and there is motion at snap. McDaniels did none of that when he was with the Raiders as their play caller and head coach.
Hmm.
Now, Brian Hoyer responded to that tweet. He goes, what does this even mean?
Old quarterback fight.
What would you love for him? Hoyer says. Yeah, a scrubby quarterback battle.
Yeah, more play action.
What do you mean? What would you want for him? More play action, more time in the shotgun, and more motion at the snap. What do you mean? What would you want? Why wouldn't you want those things for a quarterback?
How about this? Derek Carr, in his career, his quarterback rating, 18 points higher with play action as opposed to non-play action.
Okay.
So it's not like he was doing it because Carr's better, you know, without the play action, right, all that stuff. Like, it actually, over his career, he's been better with that. So, yeah, I don't know. Now, that doesn't mean that you run the exact same offense the exact same way with the Raiders as you would with the Patriots and with Drake May. Drake May, I think you probably want to put him in spots to use his legs more so than a Derek Carr. That second year, I think it was Garoppolo.
It was.
Hoyer
and
Stanton,
Hoyer.
Maybe?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that was a mess. So, but yeah.
Another media member, or current media member, writing for Josh McDaniels. Shocker. But at least he has a real, like, playing relationship and probably a debt of gratitude to Josh McDaniels for his NFL career. But what do you mean, what would I want? I want more motion at the snap at bare minimum. It's something we talked about
last year, same thing.
Patricia, O'Brien, Van Pelt, none of them did that. And it's something we've been crying about for 3 years straight. Now McDaniels is back and we're like, oh, who cares? He doesn't motion at the snap.
What was AVP's big motto, though? He's like, motion with intent.
We've got to
do motion with intent. It's like, yeah, okay, mix in some of that then. Like, what's wrong with that?
Well, we asked
him. So we're not just going to do motion to motion. It's like, right.
This is when he was
accusing you. You think every team's just doing motion to motion?
Well, yes. This is when he was accusing you of weird questions, Kiefer, odd questions.
That's right.
But
didn't know if the quarterback was holding on to the ball too long or if the offensive line was not holding their blocks too long.
Oh, so the Dolphins motion without intent.
Yeah.
And the Rams motion without intent. It feels like there's a lot of intent there.
I don't know.
The Chiefs motion at the snap.
There's a lot of motion happening.
They're motioning without intent, apparently, according to former offensive coordinator.
Watch the Super Bowl. So the two best teams in the league, I think, are still left. So in 2 weeks, just keep an eye on those offenses and see what kind of, you know, whether it's play action or motion, stuff like that.
Are they in shotgun? Is it play action?
Yeah.
and is there motion at the snap?
Do you have an overall take? Do you like a ton of shotgun, no shotgun, some shotgun?
I like shotgun. Yeah, I mean, you have obviously the answer is you need a quarterback who can do both, but yeah. I would skew way more shotgun than not.
I think Drake May, I mean, the modern quarterback is almost in it entirely in college. High school, I mean, you watch a high school game, these guys are in shotgun the whole time. So they are used to it. You'd like to be able to do a little bit of both, obviously, but... Yeah, I mean, that's the question. We don't know the answer yet. It's like, will Josh McDaniels get the most out of Drake May? That's like the bottom line for the upcoming season and years beyond.
And maybe he will, but I would just say those stats don't tell a great story. That's all. Right. I am with Dan Orlovsky on this one. As some would say, I stand with Orlovsky.
You stand with Orlovsky?
I stand with Orlovsky on this one, specifically.
Yeah, just this one. I got you.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. More thoughts on the AFC and NFC championship games, the Super Bowl 59 matchup, plus, of course, crying about the refs. We'll do that all day long here on Jones and Keefe. And let's get to the Celtics and the Bruins. Not only did both win over the weekend, nice wins for both teams.
Yes.
We have a new name in the mix for Celtics owner. Let's get to that next.
Mixing a decaf there, Judd. My God.
Very excited about it, as he should be.
It's a good win.
That was a really good win.
Avs just made a massive trade. You see this the other day?
Yes, I did.
I was told teams don't make trades yet. I was told we were too far out of the trade deadline to make trades.
It's too early.
But, three-way deal. Everybody's favorite, Taylor Hall getting dealt again.
What a weird career.
Yeah, he's not very good.
No, I know, but he's the MVP of the league one year.
No.
Is he the worst MVP ever?
Maybe. He used to be good. By the time the Bruins got him, people kept trying to make him a thing. He stunk at that point.
I don't even know how good he ever was. I mean, that one year, clearly he was.
Good question.
I don't know what the equivalent is. Maybe baseball. Baseball is more random MVPs.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, no disrespect. But like, Dustin Pedroia was an MVP. But, like, Taylor Hall being an MVP.
So he was dealt again. Colorado got Natchez from Carolina, which I also think is noteworthy. Like, they're kind of blowing their team up to a degree. They got Rantanen. So Colorado's roster a little in flux. But again, the headline would be teams are making deals, which I was just told last week. It's too early to make deals in advance of the trade deadline. So you can do it if you're the Bruins. I'm not even saying you have to do it now, but you can. Bruins win again at home. They've actually played pretty well at home of late. Celtics also won over the weekend, Keith. So, I don't know. Do we need to stand down on these two teams? Our criticism of them of late? Celtics had a winning road trip.
Yeah, no,
Bruins
that's
have been
good.
Better at home. I think they're 5-1-1 over the last seven, I think.
Well, not that. Yes, they are. And I had a friend send me this.
Mm-hmm.
So, this wasn't even the Rich Keefe Stats Info Department. This was sent to me.
Okay.
Before being called out for being a locker room problem, mm-hmm. David Pastrnak, in 43 games, had 39 points. Still pretty good.
Yeah.
Off the point per game total, but you know, pretty good. And the team was 20-19-5. Since being called out, 7 games, 17 points,
nice.
And the team is 5-1-1. Because everybody kind of misconstrued that whole entire thing. They're like, "Oh, Keefe's calling out Marchand." No, go back to it. It had nothing really to do with Marchand.
You were really calling out Pastrnak.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was sort of what I had been led to believe. Was more as like he was more of an issue than Marchand was. But Marchand was the one that was very vocal about it.
Correct.
And then it spun out, and they're like, "Oh, Keefe's calling out Marchand." Not really true at all. It was more Pastrnak, and I don't know. Who knows? Maybe that needed to be made public or whatever. But there's kind of a turning point there. Like, Pastrnak is on fire right now.
And him and Geeky.
Geeky's
and you're right.
Great.
Pastrnak, another goal, 2 assists. But, like, this play where he's just whipping it to the front of the net and him and Geeky are on the same page and Geeky's tapping it. It's 2 games in a row. It's been happening. They've shown good chemistry there. So they're on to something.
No, but the overall criticism of the team certainly was warranted. They'd lost 6 consecutive games. They were free-falling out of the playoffs, which they're still not guaranteed to be a part of. Right now, they're tied for third with Ottawa in the division, but they've played an extra game. They're a point up on Tampa Bay, who's played 3 fewer games, and you know, a couple points up on like Montreal and Detroit, who have also played fewer games. The Bruins have played more games than anybody, it looks like. So,
yeah, 51 is them in Florida have played the most. Them, Florida, and New Jersey have played the most in the East, yep.
Cam Neely himself talked about maybe having to retool the team. So that's not just a negative reaction to it or people overblowing things. The president of the team was like, yeah, we might have to look down that road. And so also since he has said that, the team has played a little bit better. But with this Bruins, like, let's see what it is. You know, when they first fired Jim Montgomery, they got a little bit of a spark, meaning or they played some bad teams, but they took advantage of it and they got a bunch of points. And Sacco's team overall, or the Bruins, I mean, were playing better. They were playing pretty good defensively. And I feel like that kind of went away for a big stretch. So we're still trying to figure out what they are. So, no, I think any criticism of them is completely fair. Celtics are a little bit different because the 3-1 road trip out west sounds pretty good. Like 3-1, not bad. But that Laker game was so bad, and they've had so many just awful.
Well, and they should have lost the Clippers game. Awful games. Not to add a result that didn't happen, but they didn't play well in that game would be my point.
No, so there's still something up with them, you know, and that was a good win. They kind of needed that. But how many times have we said that? There would be like a bad loss, and then they go out there and they just like whack somebody, and you're like, oh, they're fine. It's like, well, no, because just around the corner, there might be another one of these head-scratching games where either they don't shoot it well or Brown's pouting or whatever.
Let's call off the dogs for a little bit with the Bruins and the Celtics. They won this weekend, so they get credit. The second they start losing and playing like crap again, we'll jump back on them, but a good weekend for both those teams. I would also consider this good news from Bill Simmons, tweeted out last night, that he mentioned near the end of his podcast, so what, 2.5 hours in, you slip this in, you expect us all to hear it, Bill? He mentioned at the end of his podcast, the end of his podcast got to be like at least a good. It's like watching The Brutalist. I heard Greg talking about this today.
Oh, did he watch The Brutalist?
No. But they
it's
were
like
saying
3.5 hours.
That's exactly the point. It's like a Bill Simmons podcast. I got to listen to 3.5 hours, and then at the end you tuck something in.
You got Cousin Sal's picks.
Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie is in the running to buy the Boston Celtics. He's a Boston native with degrees from Clark, Brandeis, and BU. His first big company was called Chestnut Hill Productions. I was looking at some of the films that they put together.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know how many of them you saw, Keith.
No, what kind of movies were they?
Let me look it up again. I'll find it for you. He's a huge Celtics fan, obviously. You weigh in with your thoughts on Lurie. I'll get to some of the films.
I'll take it. I mean, look at what Philadelphia's done. Philadelphia's been good. They're willing to invest in their club. That's the most important thing. That's what we're watching, right? Nobody wants a John Henry ownership group because you're afraid they're going to just try to do whatever they can to make money and not necessarily win at all costs. I look at Philadelphia. Now, this is sort of like a more of a GM move. But what stands out to me is they swung and missed in the first round on Justin Jefferson. They tried drafting a receiver. They identified Jalen Reagor as better than Justin Jefferson. And did they just sit back and be like, wow, we screwed that one up? Nope. They used another first-round pick on a wide receiver. They traded a first-round pick for a wide receiver. And I know that's been up and down, and he's reading books on the sideline and everything. But A.J. Brown has been a huge, huge addition to them. Look at the consistency of winning and spending. Like, I'll take Jeffrey Lurie owning the Celtics.
Same. I like that he's local. I don't like that he's the Eagles owner. I got to hold my nose on that.
That's weird, but whatever. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's John Henry-esque is what it is, but whatever. I like him in the mix, again, as a Boston guy. Some of the film, the big one was I Love You to Death, Keith.
Ooh.
Kevin Kline, Tracy Ullman, River Phoenix. Keanu Reeves was in it. That was one of the big ones. Jeff Lurie.
Star-studded cast.
Jeff Lurie also appeared in, I don't recall this, in Jerry Maguire playing himself.
Not just the ultimate jock.
Just the ultimate jock. That's true. So we'll take your thoughts on this as well. New name in the mix for Celtics ownership, Jeffrey Lurie, local businessman. Owner of the Philadelphia Eagles, his team's in the Super Bowl, in the mix to buy the Celtics. Plus, we'll get back to championship weekend in the NFL. The Chiefs got it done again with the help of the refs. All your thoughts next.